as we spoke last Sunday, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Satchidanandam, Krishna, Satya Chitta Anandam. We saw how Krishna present in this world in the Satchidananda form. Sat is eternal and Chit is full of knowledge and Anandam is full of bliss. So, having expressed Krishna in that way, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were also talking about Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jaira Hedugam. That Bhakti, the purpose of Bhakti, it says, Bhagavatam says in the second chapter, in the first canto, that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Bhakti Yogam has got this Prayojita, Prayojanam or benefit. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jaira Hedugam. Vairagyam jnanam, knowledge, renunciation knowledge will be the result of bhakti. So, if the mother, it is Valpavarana presents bhakti as the mother and jnana vairagyam as the children. So, if the mother is strong, the children also must be strong. Jnana vairagyam will also be strong. That's what that's indicating. So, we found the difference between jnani and a bhakta. Jnani is one who is seeing Krishna is the soul within everyone, Atmasurubena. And one who is serving Krishna in that way is Bhakti. One who is conscious of Krishna as presence in everyone as the soul is Jnani. One who is serving Krishna as the soul inside everyone, that's Bhakti. That's the main difference between a Jnani and a Bhakti. Bhakta, one who is conscious of Krishna's presence in everyone as the soul is a jnani. One who is serving Krishna as who is present in everyone as the soul is a bhakta. So there is very little difference between bhakta and a jnani. And therefore, you'll see in the Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna talks about that the a self-realized soul, he can be a jnani as well as a bhakta, both. That so therefore these differences, although it's indicated like that, jnani and a bhakta, they are both on the spiritual platform on a very higher level. So we also saw that in the three states of existence, escaping from the three states is called a liberation. In other words, once you get freed from jagrat, vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep, that freedom from all these three states, avastatrayam, it's called liberation. So bodily concept of life, when in the vacant state, we are identifying with the body when the senses are fully active. So that is the jagrat state, the senses being fully active. Through vairagyam, one has to overcome this attachment to the senses. That's what releases from the jagrat state. When we have developed sufficient renunciation, detachment from the sense objects, then we become free from the influence of the senses. And that makes us free from the influence of jagrat state. When we have released ourselves through devotion, bhakti, from the impact of mind, or in other words, from the grip of the mind, then you are released from the sopnam state or the dream state. Similarly, through the process of knowledge, when one releases oneself from avidya or sushupti, he is released from all the three states. So, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, vairagyam, bhakti, jnanam, three states of related to them. That's what we have seen before. Now, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find there, once you have finished with all these three states of existence, what is left then, left behind? That's only the soul. Only the soul exists after that. That and one who is situated in that platform all the time, he is a jnani. He is a jnani, one who is situated in that platform always. He is a jnani. So, Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma, in the second canto you will find, in the first verse itself, in the first chapter, Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hai Shodavya Kritidavyascha Smartavyascha Chalabhayam. There, Sudev Goswami begins Bhagavan like this. Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hai. Again, so, Sudev Goswami is not referring to Krishna from here or there, Vrindavanam or Mayapur or anywhere. Sudev Goswami is saying, Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma. who is the soul of everyone, Bhagavan Ishwara Hai. That is the important thing what he mentions there. Tasmal Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwara Hai. And what should we do? Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadha Bhayam. That in order that for us to free ourselves from fear, at the time of death, what overpowers us is this fear. What will happen? That we have to leave this body and that fear associated with that. So there he said to Parikshit that Tasmal Bharata, O Parikshit, King Parikshit, Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari, Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the same time who is the presence in everyone as the soul, Shrodavya, one should hear about him. Smartavya, Kirtidavyascha, you should hear about him, you should remember him, and he should glorify him. Chechadha Bhayam. If you do that, he will be released from this fear of death. There is no other way. So this is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. That by glorifying Krishna, who is the soul of everyone, one can get oneself freed from the fear of death, and by glorifying him, by remembering him, hearing about him, by glorifying him and remembering him. Krishna has said that Sukadeva Goswami says here. Now, that as we said before, that the dead matter, which is the jagat as it is referred to, that as much as renunciation increases in a person, when we increase our detachment to the material world, our bodily concept of life will reduce. Our bodily concept of life will reduce. And due to bhakti or devotion, our karma vasana will go. Karma vasana will also go away. So this is the process, that due to renunciation, that bodily concept of life will go away from us. Through bhakti, the karma vasanas, which actually causes the mind to function, constant thoughts coming through the mind, that will also go away. Similarly, through knowledge, the avidya or ignorance that is pervading us in the deep sleep, that will also go. So, once we come to the realization that we are soul, then that avidya that is covering us in deep sleep will also go away. So these are the three states and three ways to escape from the three states of existence. That once you have known your real form as the soul, there is no more avidya. Avidya doesn't exist anymore after that. That and Shastras are saying that Krishna is called Uttama Shloka for one reason. That by hearing about Krishna as the soul of everyone, that avidya will automatically go away from us. Avidya will automatically, it will kill the avidya in a person. Then the difference between a jnani or an ordinary person is that jnani will not see any truth in anything. Satyatva buddhi it's called. Satyatva buddhi means that he will not accept anything as truth, whatever he has to do, transactions in this world. Unlike the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul accepts everything as truth, isn't it? And then he acts on that level. But a jnani, a realized soul, will not act in that way. He will not have any, he will be conscious that what he is dealing with is not a real thing. That consciousness is always strongly in him. So, but then we spoke about the all the vasanas inside are staying in our mind as memory, isn't it? Are staying in our mind as memory. Then Krishna says here that these purva janma vasana or karma vasanas that has come the previous life, that creates the durvasanas inside and that increases our bodily concept of life. That is how the bodily concept of life increases. If we allow the previous vasanas which has come with us to grow in us, the bodily concept of life will increase in us. So that is the biggest problem, that the sharira abhimana or the identification with the body gets stronger according to the vasanas. Because vasanas are like that. Most of the vasanas what we have accumulated from previous lifetimes is only to help us to increase the bodily concept of life, then that is what those questions were asked. What is the process by which one can wipe out all the durvasanas or the bad vasanas? Then how to achieve Krishna, how to go back to Krishna? And we talked about the Kalavyalam Hagrasam Vyasamarnasa Hedave, about that the python which is ready to swallow all of us in the form of time, how to escape from the grip of that. Parikshit Maharaj, although a great personality who has never committed any mistake in life, lived a moral life, even he committed a simple mistake at the end by throwing the dead snake on the neck of the sage, for which he was now lamenting about that. Tasman sarvatmana rajan, Bhagavatam says there, at that point, Tasman sarvatmana rajan, Hari sarvatra sarvada, Shodavya kirtidavyascha, Smartavyascha chadabhayam. That therefore all the time, Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, that one should remember Krishna. One should remember Krishna as the soul of everyone. And exactly like what happened to Parikshit, that at the time of death, aham brahma param dama brahma aham paramam padam, that realization has come to Parikshit and he escaped from the body before Takshaka could bite him. Then the difference between knowledge and ignorance, we may talk about this also. That when we are talking about avidya, which is in the sushupti state, what covers us with ignorance, what is that avidya? Avidya is nothing but the knowledge what is inside us. We have, everybody has a spiritual knowledge inside. Because the spirit soul by nature is full of knowledge, isn't it? So knowledge is not something coming from outside. But what makes a person ignorant is that knowledge is covered, is mixed with lot of desires. So knowledge and desires combined together is called ignorance. He has the knowledge, but when the knowledge is covered with many, many material desires, he becomes ignorant. So the only thing that is required is through vairagyam, when the desires goes away and the vasanas goes away from inside, automatically he becomes a realized soul. He develops the proper knowledge. So this much is about the Bhagavadam. In the beginning, in Palpuranam, if you read those chapters, you will see there is a story also along with that, the story of the Brahmana Almadeva. Almadeva had no children, and this Brahmana wanted to have children. He got he approached some sannyasis. The sannyasis handed over a fruit to him. He took it to his wife, and the wife was not interested in having children at that time. And that story goes on that she hands over this fruit to her sister, and part of that the cow, and the cow eats the fruit, and the cow gives birth to a child, and the sister also, but she didn't have any children. The wife didn't have any children. Later on, that whole story is there in the Padmapuranam. We have spoken about that before also. I won't go into details of that right now because it takes some time. Anyway, what happened after that was that you can see that through Srimad Bhagavatam, that soul who got entangled in the material life had to suffer so much and eventually got released by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And that from there you can understand that even Lord Brahma was surprised to see that the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why Brahma decided to weigh Srimad Bhagavatam against all other scriptures. And Brahma found that the Srimad Bhagavatam is more potent than all other Vedic literature. Due to presence of being Krishna says also that Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavadakhyavayam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. So, in that way, you will see here, if you go into the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very last chapter, when Parikshit Maharaj was preparing for death, that he came, sat down, and he says there that Parishad Maharaj's arrival, Maharishi Raja, king, the king is talking to all the great sages who are present there. He says to them, Aho vayam dhanyatamanrubanam mahattamanugrahaniyashilaha ratnyamgulam brahmanavadashauja duratrusishtam padagrahya karmaha. Then I am keeping my mind completely focused on Krishna. Let Daksha come and bite me, but please sing the glories of Krishna, glories of Vishnu. That tammo bayadam padiyandu vipra gangaja devi tritachittamishe dijobasrishta kuhagastakshagova asatvalam gayada Vishnu gada. That asatvalam gayada Vishnu gada. Then continuously sing glories of Krishna. Parishit Maharaj has prepared himself mentally. He has accepted that he wants to give up his body, broken all connections with this world, empire, family, everything, and sat down to hear about Krishna. And at that time what happened was that Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanandi Radiprasanga Chatadashrayeshu Mahalsuyamya Upayami Srishtim Maitrestu Sarvatranamo Dujebhyaham. That only one prayer he had was, in every birth, if I have to take birth again, Parishad Maharaj is saying, that without being affected by time, place or any circumstances, let my mind be always absorbed in Krishna and also in the association of those great devotees who are serving Krishna. And let my mind will always be situated like that. This was the prayer which Parikshit had at the time of death. Even after I have to leave this, after leaving this body, if ever I have to take birth again, doesn't matter. But still, Deshagala Parichayam, that means time, place and other circumstances, let that not affect me, but still I be in the association of Krishna and his devotees, and also association with the great souls, and let me be friendly to all the living entities. This is what Parikshit has spoken at that time. Now if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, in order after this, at the very end of this this verse, he says, adaprachami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum purushasya hayal karyam riyamanasya sarvadham. Then he says to Sudeva Goswami, the death is waiting in front of me in the form of Takshaka. Therefore, I am asking you this one question, what is my duty? I ask you because you are the supreme spiritual master of all the other yogis as well. Therefore, he says, Purushasya hayal karyam riyamanasya sarvada paramam gurum. Paramam guru, the supreme guru, Sudeva Goswami, please instruct me on this, what is my duty? Explain that to me. So this is how Parishad Maharaj came and sat down in the bank of the river Ganga, and he, Ganga river, and Parishad asked this question to all the sages present there and also to Sudeva Goswami. So Sudeva Goswami started replying in the second canto, in the first chapter. In the second canto, in the first chapter, he started answering that. He said there, Vaiyaneshade prasna kritolohigam nrva Atmavil sammada pumsam shodavyadishuya paraha shodavyadini rajendra nanam sandhyasrasha abhashyanam atmadatvam griheshu grihamethinam. In six verses, he answers that question. In six verses, he answers that question. He says generally that the question what you have asked is very important, because this question is the one what one should ask. That's how Sudeva Goswami replies. If one does not ask this question, all his other questions are useless. Therefore he appreciates that question. And because this question gives pleasure to the realized souls, because realized souls wants to bring this realization to us who are leaving this body at the time of death, they want us to remember this. Variyaneshadam prasna krito lokahitam nabhavam. That lokahitam, for the benefit of the world, you have asked this important question. And with very, in a very happy way, Sudev Goswami answers that. He says, generally, Shrodavyadi Rajendra Nranam Sandhi Sahasrasha Apashyadamat Padatvam Griheshu Grihame Ethinam. Those who are absorbed in the body and the family and home, they will not ask this question. He answers there straight away. Apashyadamat Padatvam Griheshu Grihame Ethinam. Because they have no idea about the soul. They have no idea about the soul. Imagine a death when you have no idea about the soul. When you have to leave this body without knowing that you are the soul. What will happen? What will happen is, at the time of death, all other material desires will start flowing in one after the other. And whichever material desire is the strongest, that will overpower others. And immediately you will have to go into another body to fulfill that material desire. So that's why he said here, Apashyadam Alpadatvam Griheshu Grihame Ethinam. Therefore he says, Grihamedhis, or one who are absorbed in the material life and family enjoyment, they will not think in this direction. Nidraya Hrayena Tam Vayena Javavaya Divajata Haye Rajan Kudumba Varane Enava. And he says also in another verse that the normally Nidraya Hrayena Naktam, in the night time is spent in avidya, in sleeping. And in the daytime is wasted in doing all useless things. Divajata Haya Rajan Kudumba Varane Enava. And whenever they are incapable of doing something, they will be busy with the running the house or Kudumba Varanam. Or managing the family life. So this way they have no time for anything. This is Sudev Goswami saying here. Deha avatyagalatrali shatma alpasainyesha salsovi tesham pramantanam pashyanna vidavashyadi. That deha avatra kalatralishu atmasainyesha salsovi. Deham, material body and wife, children and all the relatives, this and all the army we have built up around us. Atmasainyeshu asalsovi. He does not recognize they are incapable of giving him any protection at the time of death. He will not come to terms with it. Then what else he do? Apashyadam tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyanna vinapashyari. That tesham pramatto nidhanam, he is pramatta. Pramatta means his ego is so strong inside that he still has strong faith in his accumulated wealth or in his society or in the family or in the friends. Whatever he has around him, what he has created. And what happens to him? Pashyanna vinapashyari. He does not see the powerful death what is standing right in front of him. Tasmal bharata sarvalpa bhagavani shvarevuhai shodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha echadabhayam. Therefore, there is only one shelter for that person, that such a person who is going to face death, he should see Krishna as the soul of everyone. And he should hear about him, glorify him, and remember him, and that will release him from the fear. Elavan Sankhya Yogabhyam Sodharma Parinishtaya Janmala Abhavarapumsam Andiye Narayana Spradim. That through Sankhya Yogam and practicing Sodharma or Dharma Nishtam, and if ultimately if there is any profit in this life, in this material life, that's only one thing. Janmala Abhavarapumsam Andiye Narayana Spradi. That is to remember Krishna at the time of death. So, the question was asked in the first canto. Straight in the second canto, Sudev Goswami gave the answer also. That this is what one should do. And six verses, he was able to give the answer. Janmala Abhavarapumsam Andiye Narayana Spradi. The only, one and only profit in this life is if one can remember Krishna at the time of death. That's the only profit. Now, this one verse, Janmalava Parapumsam Andiye Narayana Smriti, to explain that, you will see one after the other in every canto, somebody is talking about this. Let's look at canto by canto. Each canto, who talks about this? How this same point, what Sudev Goswami has spoken here, it comes again and again in each canto. If you see into the second canto, in the second canto, only in the third canto, the straight away if you go into Varaha Avataram, Lord Varaha's appearance, if you look in there, you will see, because Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are non-different. What is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is there in the Bhagavatam also. Bhagavad-gita says, yamyam vabhismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tamtham evedi gaundeya sadatad bhava bhavida. Isn't it? Krishna says there to Arjuna, yamyam vabhismaran bhavam, whatever you remember, whatever bhavam you have at the time of death, whatever you remember at the time of death, and if you give up the body in that way, tam tam evaidi kaunteya, accordingly you will have your next body as well. So Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavad Gita. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu vamanusmara yudhaya. Therefore remember me, and tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, all time you should remember about Krishna. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita. It is the same thing here also, it's not different. Janmalava parapumsam andhiyan arayana smriti, remembering Krishna. That is the goal. So in order to remember Krishna, which is not an easy thing, which is not an easy thing at the time of death, because those who know how the death happens and also observe that, you can see that what happens at the time of death, that the mind is not under control. The body, material body, is also going through a lot of difficulties. The soul in the process of leaving the body. So, what is spoken there, if you look into the third canto, you will see there that in the 19th chapter, if you look into the 19th chapter, in the third canto, there is spoken about this, that this Janmalava Parapumsam Andhiya Narayana Smriti, how to remember Krishna. So there in that verse, verse number 38, that how that point what he has stressed in the second canto, it comes into the third canto. How? The verse says, Edan Mahapunyamalam Bavitram Danyam Yashasyam Padamayurashisham Pranendriyanam Yudhi Shauryavardhanam Narayanondi Gadiranga Shanvadam. Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha, and Sudeva Goswami says at the very end of, after talking about the death of Hiranyaksha, Sudeva Goswami says there, Edan Mahapunyamalam Pavitram, that this story or this pastime of Varaha, Lord Varaha, Krishna's pastime as Lord Varaha, one who remembers this and one who reads this, automatically Krishna will help them to come in front of them at the time of death. So you can see in every canto, Sudeva Goswami is stressing on this point of remembering Krishna at the time of death. And he gives this special blessing to these particular pastimes in the Bhagavatam. He says, if you remember the pastime of Lord Varaha killing Hiranyaksha, when you say remember means you have to read Bhagavatam. Without reading Bhagavatam, I just remember the story that Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, that's not enough. Associated with that pastime, there are so many things spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one who remembers those things, he will automatically remember Krishna has given this benediction through Sudeva Goswami. That in the time of death, Krishna will offer that help to that living entity to remember him. Krishna will appear for him in that form so that he can leave the body remembering Krishna. That's what is stressed here. So in the second canto, Janmalava Parapumsam Andhiya Narayana Smriti was said. Now he says, Narayanonde Gadiranga Shrinvadam, that he will go back to Narayana, go back to Krishna by hearing this story. That benediction also, Sudeva Goswami wrote it and left it there for our benefit. So at least we take it seriously. So Sudeva Goswami has to keep reminding us this all the time so that we don't forget it. Then if you, in the same third canto, if you look into the 24th chapter, if you look into the 24th chapter, you will see there that Kardava Prajapati leaving his body. Kardava Prajapati leaving his body. There he says here, Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvajna Pratyaga Almani Parena Bhakti Bhavena Labdhalma Mukta Bandhanaham. That Vasudeva Bhagavati, Maitreya Maharshi is saying this to Vidura. Maitreya Maharshi is talking to Vidura about Kardama Prajapati's departure from this world. You all know this story, Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi, in the third canto. You should know these stories. Only then you can relate with Bhagavatam. That's why you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand that in each canto what is spoken. And the personalities who have appeared in each canto and what they have talked about. So there you will see Kardama Prajapati is leaving his body. After Kapila Vasudeva, Kapila Maharshi was born. Kapila Maharshi was born. Kardama Prajapati took to Sannyasa Ashram and left home and went to the forest to practice penances and to realize the truth. So that time while leaving, he says here, that how Kardama Prajapati left his body. That Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvajne Pratyagalpani. That Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvajne Pratyagalpani. That Krishna, who is the presence as the soul in everyone. Pratyagalmava means that. He is present as the soul in everyone. Pratyagalmava. So, Pratyagalma, when Krishna is present inside as the soul, he is called Pratyagalma. When he is present in outside in other living entities, he is called Paragalma. Paragalma. So, Pratyagalma is present inside and completely absorbed in the Parena Bhakti Bhavena. Lekdhalma Mukta Bandhana. So, he was released from his bondage. He was released from his bondage. Mukti Bandhanam. That Bandhanam has gone for him after he set himself up in that position. So, whatever he has mentioned in the second canto goes on to the third canto also in the same way. What he has spoken in the second canto, you see, in Kardama Prajapati's case as well as in the case of, he says here in the case of Lord Varaha's disappearance also, the same thing applies. That somehow or the other to remember Krishna at the time of death. So, that in order to stress this point, again he says here, that Kardama Prajapati also did exactly the same thing. Fixed his mind on Krishna and was able to leave the body in that way. The result of Kardama Prajapati's penances. Then if you go into the fourth canto, what happens? In the 31st chapter, in the fourth canto, there also you will see Prajedas. Prajedas were giving the body. That is in the 31st chapter. Verse 24. So there he says here, that Maitreya Vajam Idi Prajedaso Rajananyascha Bhagavil Kadaha Shravayitva Brahma Logam Yayav Swayambhu Omuni. Then Prajedas also, when they wanted to give up the body, what did they do? Naravahashi heard about the glories of Krishna from the from Sri Narada Maharshi. Prajedas heard the glories of Krishna. Narada Maharshi went back to Brahmalokam. And after hearing about Krishna from Sri Narada Maharshi, eventually, and they were meditating on the form of Krishna and released themselves from the material body. They released themselves from the material body. Here again you see the same point Sudeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit. Earlier in the second canto, Jamalava Parapumsam Ande Narayana Smriti, that Prajedas also achieved perfection, or they also succeeded in their life by giving up the body, remembering about Krishna. So you can see in every canto, if you keep looking, you will see the same thing spoken. Jamalava Parapumsam Ande Narayana Smriti. Somehow the other remember Krishna at the time of death. That is the purpose of presenting Srimad Bhagavatam to us. If you go into the fifth canto, we'll finish through each canto once, just to give just to understand that how Bhagavatam is stressing this point. In the fifth canto, if you look into the 14th chapter, you will see there that the Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Yogeshwara or Jadabharata, when he was leaving his body, what happened? Bharata Maharshi says there that yajnaya dharma padaye vidinai gunaya yogaya sanga shirase prakritishwaraya narayanaya haraye nama ityudaram hasyan mrigatvamaviya samudajaharam. That yajnaya dharma padaye vidinai gunaya, that Bharata Maharshi or Bharata Yogeshwara or Jadabharata, as is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he had to accept the body of a deer, isn't it? He came in the body of a deer. And he has to leave that body. And at that time, fortunately, he could remember his previous life. That is Krishna's mercy. That Krishna reminded him in his previous life as the Emperor Bharata, where he executed spiritual activities. Because of that, at the time of death, he was able to remember Krishna again. That's why he said here, Yajñamurti Dharmavadi. And also, he says that to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari or Krishna, who is present in everyone as a super soul to whom I pay my obeisance. Saying this, he left his animal's body. The deer, Yajñaya Dharmavadaye Vidinaiphunaya, Yogaya Sangya Shirase Pradishwaraya, Narayanaya Haraye Namayityudaram Hasyan Mrgattumaviya Samudajahara. So every time when a devotee is leaving body in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into their prayers and if their remembrance of Krishna at the time of death, exactly what Sudev Goswami has spoken in the second canto comes back again. Then next comes in the sixth canto. We'll talk about Ajamila's story. What has happened to Ajamila? Ajamila has said there that the Sangetyam Barihasyam va Sobham Helanam eva va Vaigundanama Grihanam Ashesha Akharam Vidum. That somehow or the other, Ajamila was fortunate. Of course, it did not happen in a automatic way. There was some reason behind it that you will see. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, all the three chapters in the sixth canto, you will know how it happened to Ajamila. But Ajamila's story is pointing out to us again the same thing. Sangetyam varihasyam va stoham helanam eva va vaigundam amagrahanam ashesha kaharam vidum. That all the sinful reactions or sinful activities what Ajamila has performed were wiped out in one stretch by chanting the holy name of Krishna, by chanting this holy name. So you can see there that the power of the holy name is permeating through every canto, in every canto with every example. The examples are given to show that remembering Krishna at the time of death is the main business. In order to remember Krishna, one has to chant the holy name of Krishna. As much as one chants the holy name, eventually the holy name will show its power. At the time of death, Krishna comes in the name of, form of holy name and make us to chant. So, in order to stress that point, in every canto, the different personalities, while they leave the body, how they remembered Krishna. Now we go again in the sixth canto, to the 17th chapter, where you will see there, 17th chapter is, it is the story of Chitrakedu's story. Chitrakedu, Vritrasura's story, how he became Vritrasura, isn't it? There you will see in the verse number 41.
Eedal pradhrutaya shraddhaya vagyada padel idihasam harim smritva sayadi paramam gadim.
That the story of Vritrasura was spoken, how Chitrakedu became Vritrasura. And even after becoming Vritrasura, he was able to escape from that. He was able to escape from that. And Sudev Goswami says here, Eedal pradharuthaya shraddhayava ghyala padel. One who studies this episode of Chitrakedu. And idihasam harim smritva sayadi paramam gadim. One who remembers this story at the time of death, he will remember Krishna and he will go in the right proper destination. He will reach the right destination. Sayadi paramam gadim. That he will attain perfection in his after death. So, sixth canto, we have two examples. Ajamila's story and Chitrakedu's story. Chitrakedu had the great fortune that, as you know, in Chitrakedu's story, there are the mercy coming from three different great personalities. Angiras Maharshi comes to him and Chitrakedu insists on Angiras Maharshi
that I must have a son. Angiras Maharshi tells him, by having a son, nothing is going to happen except that you are going to suffer more from that later. So our Chitrakedu won't give up. He insisted that he must have a son. Angiras Maharshi told him, you can have a son, but with the same son, you will develop Vairagyam from him. So in other words, Angiras becomes his Vairagya Guru, spiritual master in the topic of Vairagyam. Later on, second time, after the child, the baby was killed, if you know the story of sixth canto, Chitrakedu's son was poisoned by other co-wives of Kridadyuti. His main wife was Kridadyuti, from whom the son was born, but the son got killed by the other wives. They poisoned him and he died. At that time, Chitrakedu felt so depressed that proper vairagyam came to him. And it was then that the two other Chitrakedu had the visits again from Narada Maharshi and Angiras Muni. Angiras didn't speak anything this time. Everything was spoken by Narada Maharshi. And seeing that Chitrakedu had perfection in vairagyam, told him to go to the forest and chant the mantra which was given to him by Sri Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi gives the mantra to Chitrakedu. So Narada Maharshi has become the mantra guru for Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu chants the mantra and gets himself released and goes to the spiritual world. Goes to the spiritual world. While being in the spiritual world, Lord Balaram or Sankrishna Murti meets him in Vaikuntham and gives him the jnanam, the knowledge of self-realization. So you can see in one person's life, again, there are three personalities. Angiras as Vairagya Guru, Narada Maharshi as Mantra Guru, and Sankrishna, Lord Balaram, as Jnana Guru appears for same personality, Chitrakedu. And here, in Bhagavatam, it says here, one who studies this episode, this pastime of Chitrakedu as Vritrasura, how he became Vritrasura, and all that is discussed in this particular pastime, he says here, Ya edal pragaruthaya shraddhaya vagyada padhel. After waking up in the morning, one who remembers this pastime, and remembers Krishna, then eventually he will also become qualified to remember Krishna at the time of death. This is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. That edal pradruttaya shraddhaya vagyada padel idihasam harim smritva sayadi paramam gadim. He will also reach Krishna. He will also be remembering Krishna. So Bhagavatam gives us so many options. First canto, second canto, then the third canto, two options to remember the pastime of Hiranyaksha and the Varaha, Lord Varaha. Then Kardama Prajapati's pastimes. Then in the fourth canto, we have got Bharata Yogeshwara or Jadabharata's pastimes. And in the fifth canto, we have spoken about the pastimes of Bharata Maharshi. Sorry, in the fourth canto, we spoke about Kardama Prajapati. In the fourth canto, we saw how Prajedas has gone back home, back to Godhead, remembering Krishna. In the fifth canto, we saw how Bharata Maharshi went back to Godhead after remembering Krishna. In the sixth canto, you saw two personalities, Ajamila and Vritrasura. Chitrakedu's story is same as Vritrasura's story. How they went back to Godhead, remembering Krishna. Now, in the seventh canto, the example is given is Prahlada. Prahlada's story, if you look at it, you will see in the 7th canto, 10th chapter. In the 7th canto, 10th chapter, you will see there what Prahlada says there. In the 10th chapter, you will see there verse 47. Edadhyamadi gurajasya mrugendra leenam daityendra yudhavadam prayadha padheda daityal majasya sadam pravarasya punyam. It says, Edadhyamadi Gurushasya Mrugendra Leelam. If you go through these pastimes of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu's army, how they were all smashed by Narasimha Murti, Lord Narasimha. And if this pastime very carefully, one who studies that and understands the glories of the son, his son Prahlada, and one who glorifies Prahlada, if he will attain Krishna at the time of leaving the body. So all these pastimes, this is the information, this is the pastime discussed in the 7th canto. Again with the same purpose, to remember Krishna at the time of death.
Edadhyamadivrushasya mrigendra leelam, daityendra yudhavavadham preda padheda, daityalmajasya sadam pravarasya punyam, shutvanubhavam agudo bhayame dilokam.
He can leave this world peacefully, without any fear, free from fear, remembering about Lord Narasimha. So Krishna has given us so many opportunities. If we get attached to any of these pastimes, and one can remember them, that will release him at the time of death. And then if you go into the 8th canto, you will see there that if the important story of Gajendra. What Gajendra does? Gajendra also says at the time of death what happens to him. Gajendra says here, if you look into the verse number 25, it says there that Emam suvandyaninangam pradibuddhya nishate tesham pranate chaham dadami malam madim. That this is a blessing from Krishna to, as a blessing to Gajendra and to all of us. Krishna says, while releasing Gajendra from the clutches of death, from the crocodile's body and the elephant's body, both of them were released. Gajendra was the elephant. He got released because Krishna came there and cut the throat of the crocodile, and crocodile got released. He went back, and Gajendra also got released. He went back to the spiritual world. At that time, he says there that Emam suvandyaninangam pradibuddhya nishate. When one wakes up in the morning, he glorifies Krishna with this particular pastime. Tesham pranate chaham. When they leave their body, tadami vimalam matim. I will give them tadami vimalam matim. I will give intelligence to come back to me, Krishna says. So in every canto, Sudeva Goswami, through these different pastimes, stressing this to us again and again, that remembering Krishna at the time of death is very critical. It is so critical that somehow or the other it should happen. If it doesn't happen, means another material body again, to come back to the material life. Therefore he says here, two, these pastimes are spoken, and at the end of that pastime, all these pastimes, he stresses on this point again. If you go into the 9th canto, again, this is the story in the 8th canto. If you go into the 9th canto, you will see there, in the verse number 19, verse number 19, there you will see here, Ayadi, King Ayadi, Ayadi was giving up his body, and he says there, Sartra Narmukta Samasta Sangam, Atmanu Mrithya Vidudu Vidhura Trilingaha, Parema Amale Brahmani Vasudeve, Lephegadim Bhagavadim Pratigaha. Then, when Ayadi had to give up his body, you know the story of Ayadi. We cannot go through the stories now because it takes time. But Ayadi had to give up his body, had to go to a lord as a king. And before he left his body, he had experienced a lot of material happiness. He lived there, and Krishna comes in this dynasty of Ayadi. So Ayadi was giving up his body, and it says here that at the time of death, Ayadi also, what did he do? He gave up all his attachment and all connections with this world. Everything that comes from the three modes of material nature, and identified himself as the soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And he says, he realized that, and he went back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So Ayadi also, Ayadi's pastime, although when you read through Ayadi's story, how much he was entangled in material life in different ways, and eventually Ayadi managed to break up everything. As I mentioned before, all the pastimes in the 9th canto, they are all the stories of the great personalities, great kings, great Kshatriya kings, who had executed their material life to a very high standard. They all enjoyed material life very well. But they were very, very careful not to live that life forever. At some point in time, they managed to give up everything, go to the forest and realize the self.
That's the beauty of the ninth canto. You meet so many personalities in ninth canto. All of them have this great quality. To give up the material enjoyment at a particular time in life, completely take to renunciation, go to the forest and give up their body in full remembrance of Krishna. So that's what he said here about Ayati's story. And in the same story, you will see also in the verse number, in the two verses later, Sarvatra Sangamal Sridya Sotnovam Yena Bhargavi Krishna Emana Samaveshya Vidhuno Lingamal Manam. That Devayani, who was the daughter of Shukracharya, isn't it? Ayati married her. And you know all that story, what happened. The Ayati had to marry Devayani and also Sharmishta. So, Devayani was the daughter of Shukracharya. Sharmishta was the daughter of Vrishabharwa, the king. Two wives. And problem with them, with two wives. Lot of problems. And eventually he had to go through a lot of experience in life with two wives. He suffered heavily with them. And at the end, he managed to escape. And this wife, daughter of Shukracharya, also managed to escape. It also says here, Sarvatra Sangamal Srajya Sopnovam Yena Bhargavi Krishna Manasama Aveshya Vidhuno Lingamal Manam. Devayani, who is the also came to realize the truth that it is nothing but Maya's different ways of entangling us in this material life, realizing this without attachment to anything, even she gave up her body in that consciousness and went back to Krishna Mana Samaveshya Vidhuno Lingam Almana, gave up her body in that consciousness and went back home back to Krishna. So that is the story in the ninth canto. Then if you go into the tenth canto, we don't have to say anything. Because tenth canto, it is just a feast of liberation. One after the other, liberation to everyone. Starting right from Putana onwards, right up to the end, it is nothing but Krishna offering liberation to everyone. All because they were so fortunate to die in the hands of Krishna, or to love Krishna like the gopis did, or somehow or the other, they developed a relationship with Krishna and left the body. Is it not? Jarasandha, if you look at Kamsa, Shishubala, Dandavaktra, and so many others, as far as the kings and great personalities are concerned. Then the gopis of Vrindavanam and so many others, many demons in Vrindavanam, they all left their body remembering Krishna. So what Krishna has spoken earlier, somehow or the other, they all succeeded in developing a relationship with Krishna. And at the time of death, they were able to remember Krishna and leave the body. That was their success. So 10th canto is nothing but a feast of liberation. One after the other, what we see continuously is those demons who died in the hands of Krishna going back to the spiritual world. And those devotees who served Krishna, they are also going back to the spiritual world. So continuously, whole of 10th canto is nothing but about liberation happening in the hands of Krishna, remembering Krishna. Then when you come to Ekadasha Skandam, in the canto 11, what do you see? In the second chapter, there is two separate discussions in there, isn't it? Nimi and Navayogi, the nine Yogishras and King Nimi. Their conversation, and later on Krishna and Uddhava also. So if you look into the second chapter of the 11th canto, we have discussed this before, that you will see there, that in the second chapter, the verse number is
त्रिभुवन विभव हेतवेप्यकुंठम स्मृतिरचिदात्मसुरादिभिर्विमृग्यान् न चलति भगवल्पदारविन्दं लवनिमिषार्धं अभियस्य वैष्णवाज्ञां.
That constantly, one who remembers Krishna, and one whose mind is absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet. Even Lord Brahma, who is inquiring after Krishna, and one who has been offered all the opulences of the whole Brahmandam or the universe, even from then their mind does not get distracted from Krishna's lotus feet. Such a great person is a devotee. He is a first class devotee. By saying that, Tribhuvana Vibhava Hedavepyakunta Smriti Rajidalpa Surya Adimiru Vimurgyam Na Chaladi Bhagavalpadaravindam Lava Nimishatam Abhiyasa Vaishnavagriyam. So you can see that in Ekadasham it says like this, that somehow or the other the mind should reach that state at the time of death. That's the only way to remember Krishna at the time of death. Again, if you look into the chapter 29 in verse 48, there is also there is Uddhava leaving this world. Uddhava also leaving the world. Ya edananda samudra samvridam jnanamridam bhagavadaya bhashidam jnanamridam bhagavadaya bhashidam krishnena yogeshwara sevidankhena sachardhaya seva jagad vimuchyate. That ya edananda samudra samvridam, that Suraya Goswami says here that after hearing Ekadasha Skandam, which is called Jnanamadam, the nectar of knowledge, spoken for his devotee, Bhagavadaya Bhashidam, Krishna has spoken this for the benefit of Uddhava. Jnanamadam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam, then Krishnena Yogeshwara Sevidangrina, that who all the great yogis and great personalities, they serve Krishna's lotus feet. Sachradhaya seva jagad vimuchyade. He says here, is there any need to repeat the same thing what I have spoken before? What was that? Is there any doubt that Uddhava will go back to the spiritual world straight away? Then, do I have to say that again? Sukadeva Goswami is asking. In other words, Sukadeva Goswami is absolutely clear in his mind that Edadananda Samudra Sambhadam, after hearing Ekadasha Skandam by now, Parikshit Maharaj has heard this pastime with Krishna and Uddhava, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava. And Uddhava had the great fortune of hearing Ekadasha Skandam. And that has also heard, Parikshit has heard that. So he says to Parikshit, this after hearing this, is there any doubt now? He saying. That's how he says. Is there any question of doubt now that Uddhava will go back to the spiritual world? That's the sort of a guarantee he is giving here. Ya edadananda samudra sambradam jnanamratam bhagavadaya bhashidam. It was spoken by for this pure devotee, Bhagavata, Uddhava. Jnanamratam, the knowledge, pure knowledge of the self-realization. And Krishnena yogeshwara sevidankhena. It was spoken by Krishna, who is served by many, many great yogis, yogeshwaras. And sachardhaya seva jagad vimuchyate. And if one hears this, is there any doubt that that person will get released from the... In Uddhava's case, is there any need to explain that? He says here. In other words, Sukadeva Goswami is absolutely sure about the Uddhava going back to the spiritual world. That's why he was able to say this. Krishnena yogeshwara sevidankhena sachradhaya seva jagad vimuchyate. That jagad vimuchyate, he will be released straight away because he has heard, now eventually he has even heard Ekadasha Skandam. He says like this. So that is in the 11th canto. Now we will go to the 12th canto, the last canto, where 4th canto, if you look at the 4th chapter, verse number 40, what he says there. Then, now, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit is ready to leave the world, and at that time, Sukadeva Goswami is preparing himself for that, to leave the body. So, we will see there that Samsara Sindhumati Dustara Muttiri Ashor Nanya Plavo Bhagavada Purushottamasya Leela Gadhara Sanshevana Vandarena Pumso Bhavet Vivida Dukkha Avardidasyam. Samsara Sindhu Adidustaramuttidirshor. That it is very difficult to get out of material life. So Surya Goswami says there, it's very difficult to get out of material life. And that material life, Atithideshor nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya. For such a person who wants to cross this material existence, and where he is already burning himself in the fire of material existence, isn't it? Samsara dhavan analiza loka. Only those who are feeling the fire of material life or the material miseries will experience that fire. So, in the conclusion, Surya Goswami is saying here that such a person who is experiencing the distress of this material world or burning in the fire of material existence, for him there is only one shelter. What is that? To hear about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. That is the boat to cross this ocean. What is that? To hear about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. That's the boat, he says, to cross the ocean. Samsara sindhu adidustaramuttiti rishor nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila kathara sanishevana mandarena pumso bhavet vida dukkha avardidasya. So saying that in the 12th canto, he spoke about this important point again. He stressed this important point of leaving the body and how to escape from the material life. Eventually, you have to notice one more thing. In the next chapter, you will see that in the 6th chapter, verse number 11, Parikshit leaving the body, what happens? There you will see, Tachaka prahido vipra kruddhena dvijaso nuna handugamo nrubam gachan dadarsha patikashyapam. That he saw this body, that the Tachaka prahido vipra kruddhena dvijaso nuna, that Tachaka was coming to bite, Parikshit. But Parikshit has left his body in remembrance of Krishna. By now, before Tachaka could bite him, Parikshit has already left the body. He has gone back. Only thing was, Tachaka came and touched Parikshit's body and immediately turned into ashes. So people thought that Parikshit died because of Tachaka. Actually, Parikshit has left his body before that, after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, with this last example of Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam is concluding there. So, you can see in each canto, this important point of giving up the body, remembering Krishna, is spoken again, again and again. Continuously to stress this point, this is the message of Bhagavatam, how to leave this body, remembering Krishna. And through various examples, various devotees, and how they left their body due to the circumstances in which they left, how Krishna arranged everything for them to leave the body in that way. And Sudeva Goswami is saying, if you chant the holy name, will it not happen to you also that you can leave this body with Krishna's mercy in the same way? Would you have to worry about this fear of death? This is what, and through a practical example of Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami showed it to us. That by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name, he also managed to escape remembering Krishna. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam began with the absolute truth, isn't it? Absolute truth is Krishna. That is why it's called Satyam Varam Dhimahi. Janmadhyasya, if you look at the first verse itself, what does it say? It says, Janmadhyase dhonyoya idarasas artesh abhijnaswaran tene brahma hridaya adigave muhyandi yat suraya tejo varimridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirasta guhagam satyam param dhimahi. So with satyam param dhimahi, Krishna, this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam has started. In 18,000 verses, 335 chapters, Krishna, Sudeva Goswami wanted to stress this point that Sat Krishna, who is the super soul of everyone, present in every living entity, that is the only truth in this world. Everything else is false. Everything else is maya, temporary. They come and they go. Anityam asuham loham, Krishna says.
in the Bhagavad Gita. But what is actual truth? Absolute truth is Krishna. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Param Satyam. That is what is discussed in the Shrimad Bhagavatam. Eventually, at the end of Bhagavatam also, you will see the same thing again. Kasmai yena vibhasidoyam amalam jnana pradipa pura tadrubena janaradaya vanaye krishnaya tadrubina yogi indraya tadatmana vadat bhuvadradaya karunyadam tachuddham vimalam vishokam amardam satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam begins with satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with satyam param dhimahi. That it is only talking about this satyam in this, and satyam is Krishna. So, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is, in this last verse it said that who, in the form of Brahma, who instructed Bhagavatam to Brahma, sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, who heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma, then sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, who instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi, and then sitting in the heart of Vedavyas, who instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami, and sitting in the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, who instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, that Satyam Param Dhimahi. That is that Satyam. That Satyam is the one and the same thing what we began as the Satyam Param Dhimahi. So Satyam Param Dhimahi, Srimad Bhagavatam begins and finishes at Satyam Param Dhimahi. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember these important things in the Bhagavatam, it will increase our understanding that Bhagavatam's message is very, very clear. Bhagavatam's message is somehow how to remember Krishna at the time of death. And Bhagavad Gita is also saying the same thing, isn't it? Andhakaleja mameva smaram tektva kalevaram. Okay, in Bhagavad Gita it was spoken in one verse, but in Srimad Bhagavatam through several cantos, the same thing. Spoken in several cantos. So, now we will go back to where we left Srimad Bhagavatam before. We were talking about the Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Isn't it? Ekadasha Skandam in chapter 11. So, we say there that Krishna was talking about the bondage and liberation. That's where we were talking about. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Bandho Muktamidi Vyankhya Gunadomi Namastuda Gunasya Maya Moolatval Name Moksho Nabandhanam. Krishna there itself said that this thing called Bandham and Moksham, in other words, bondage and liberation, is not actually real. That's the first thing. Krishna said, bondage and liberation are not real because they are both products of Maya. Gunasya Maya Moolatval, because of the three modes of material nature, and because of that the bondage and liberation has come. So while mentioning that, Krishna, we told about, I mentioned also this before, that whenever Uddhava has asked any question to Krishna, Krishna won't answer the question directly. And this is the tradition, all the Vedic literature, it is the tradition is the same, that you won't get a direct answer to your question. Mainly because, as I said before, the main reason for that is that Vedic philosophy believes, or the understanding from the Vedas is this, that it is not these doubts that come from your mind that you are not getting self-realized. That's the important point. Suppose somebody asks a question and you give all the answer to him, is he going to get self-realized? He will ask him with another question. Then the answer. He will go on. So question answering has a beginning and an end. This is what I was saying. In science, it's the other way. Science is all about asking questions and getting answers. And after so many years of science research and all that, the world has become more miserable than any other time. Is it not? So where is this question answer leading to? Question and answer is not taking us anywhere. We have this false understanding. Our modern education is very much misled by this point. They put so much stress on their mind and intelligence. They think that they can solve all the problems by mind and intelligence, completely keeping Krishna out of the picture. But Krishna is saying to us that by example also is showing to us
that there is no need to answer all your questions before you take to spiritual life. It's not by question answer. Some people have such a strong faith in this question answer business. They keep on asking questions. And they never get anywhere. Whole life they ask questions. And if you ask them, what has happened now? Now I understood that all this is bogus, they say. So what do you say from that? What do you get from this question answer? All the time is wasted for both sides. The person who has questioned and the person who has answered. They both wasted their time. So questioning and answering is not the solution to the problem. The sages who knew about this, they knew the problem. Problem is false ego inside. So they gave more importance in destroying the false ego rather than answering the question. If the false ego is destroyed, and in the same time, if the mind has come under control from where all these questions are coming, then if the mind is completely wiped out, in other words, if he has realized the self, then the questions will automatically stop. There won't be any more questions after that. So it's still a question of realizing the self. All these things go on. All these things goes on. But then the question will come. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadviti pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya ubadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. This is a very clear statement there from Krishna, isn't it? But you must understand in what background that verse is spoken. Krishna is saying there, Tadviti pranivadena, three things there, pranivadena, pariprasnena and sevaya, three things. And plus, very important and all that thing, jnanina tattva darshina. If there is a jnani who has already realized the truth, tattva darshina, self-realized soul, or who has reached that state of realization, self-realization, if somebody approaches him with these three things, pranibhadena, pariprasena and sevaya, then that interaction, what will happen is that jnani will remove all his questions straight away. Even though allow, it won't be a question-answer session between the jnani and the seeker, and who is seeking the truth. So it says here, jnanina sattva darshina, one who has realized the truth, he must be self-realized. If such a person, if one is able to quest, if one is able to, by seva, by service, and by surrendering to him, pranivadena and pariprasnena, and by submissively inquiring from him. But in the process of that submissively inquiring, automatically inquiry will stop after a while. There won't be any more inquiry. That's what will happen. Because by surrendering and by seva, automatically he will realize that it is pointless asking questions. My duty is to serve. The realized soul, jnani. And when he is serving, purely by the association with the jnani, all that questions what he had in his mind will be answered from inside. He doesn't have to ask the questions even at that time. And that is what all the stories in the Upanishads are talking about. We gave so many examples also. That Lord Buddha story, where people came to him asking questions. Buddha told him, ask me this question after a year, he said. Another one came after a few days. So he says to Buddha again, so the older person said, you ask the question whatever you have now, right now, otherwise there may not be any question later on. So the questions have only so much importance. So similarly, in the Upanishads it is spoken very clearly that this ahankara nasham, the killing this false ego inside, is more important. And destroying the mind from where all these questions are originating, that's more important than the questioning and answering from there. That's what we are talking about. That's what Krishna has done here. In this example also, Krishna asked the question and you will see, sa esha jivo vivara prasodhi. That he spoke about jiva. When he was asking about liberation, Krishna is answering how the jiva has come about. That was the answer from Krishna. And from this also you can understand, there's no point in taking classes and courses and seminars on this. It won't work. Because it cannot help. The issue is something different. So, if everything, let all the questions stay as it is inside. As it is inside. Whether which road goes to Vaikuntham, which road goes to Kailasam, which road goes to Golokam, we'll find out that later.
when we get there. We don't need a tom tom or tim tom, whatever that is, to go to all these places. We have got used to this system of working. Unless we have everything sorted out for us, we won't involve in it. But Shastra is telling us that Kailasam, Vaikuntham and Golokam and all that, when you have to get there, you will know where to go. You don't have to be told at that time. But the question is first to qualify oneself for that. To get oneself qualified for that. When one is not qualified, simply if one sits here and theorizing this all the thing, what will happen is, Shastra says he will become a demon at the end. He won't not only develop the spiritual life, rather he will be keep on inquiring this. And it will not help him very much. So there we see there that how to, even the spiritual master is only doing the same thing. The answer, what is already inside, the answer is also inside the same person. The jnanam is there. The acharya is only helping him how to find that answer inside. Due to association with the acharya or the great realized soul, jnani or great devotee, what is happening here is that automatically due to association, the answer, all the questions will be answered in due course. There will be no need to separately ask the question. So this is why it is spoken that yādhārtyā tunmaya sevihinam vibho vastudo bandha mokshau māyā vidyām tanubhyām tavadu virajido svatnabho dhobam auto. This is not from the Bhagavatam. This verse, it summarizes the whole thing. Yathartya tanmaya sehi mamanamibho vastudo bandha moksho. In yathartyam, in reality, Bhagavatam is saying also, in reality, the living entity and Krishna are closely connected. At the moment, due to misunderstanding, I am thinking I am part of the material nature because of the association with the matter. We discussed this before. The body belongs to material nature. The soul belongs to Krishna. So, yādhārtyāl tunmaye sevahi mamana vibho vastudo bandham mokshau. Bandham and moksham, or in other words, bondage and liberation. Māyā vidyām tanubhyām tavadu virajitau sutnabho dhobam autau. They are coming from Māyā. It is Māyā's creation that is we experiencing in the form of this bandham and moksham. Māyā vidyām tanubhyam tavatu virajitau, created by Māyā. How? Svapna bhavat opam autau. Like svapnam and jagrat. Just like we experience svapnam and jagrat, isn't it? Both are created by Māyā. It's Māyā's creation. Unfortunately, we are taking jagrat as real and svapnam is dream, isn't it? But Krishna's eyes, they are both in the same category. They both belong to the same category. Neither of them are true. I know it's a very difficult concept to accept this. If you tell someone that this book doesn't exist or this shelf doesn't exist, they'll think I am crazy. Isn't it? They'll call you crazy. He'll think that this person is wasting my time talking all these things. But this understanding that this is Māyā, that it is Māyā's creation. Everything that comes from Māyā has a beginning. Shad Parinama Vedam, the six things what we spoke about. In Niminama Yogi, Samadhami mentioned this. Everything takes birth. It grows up for some time, stays for some time, creates byproducts. If not, it starts decay and eventually death. This change of phase in its existence in this world, it's called Parinama. That changes are happening to everything in this world except the soul. The body is changing, the mind is changing, intelligence is changing, all material bodies are changing, the whole creation is changing. What is not changing? Everything else is changing. Because everything is changing, Krishna is saying there that these things are a product of Māyā. They are subject to Māyā. So therefore, Māyā vidyām tanubhyām tavadu virajidau svapna bhodopam autau. In svapnam and as well as in the jagrat, in the dream as well as the jagrat, also this is the same thing that's happening. Because when you go from jagrat to svapnam, you are completely in the grip of Swapna. At that time, everything that was happening in the Jagrat has no meaning. Similarly, when you come back from Swapna to Jagrat also, that's another world of its own, where you have, except that in Jagrat, your body is much more absorbed through the senses in enjoying the world. Therefore, mistakenly, you have accepted this as reality. This is Krishna's point. That because the senses have also come into action, and because our identification with the body has been so strong in several lifetimes, and it is much more now in this particular body, we accept everything in the bodily concept of life as reality. This is Krishna's point. And Krishna says, even the bodily concept of life itself is illusion. To such an extent, Krishna refutes this gross body. Although this gross body exists around the soul, similarly the subtle body with the mind, intelligence, everything still exists. Because of it is due to our association with the gross body that we are unable to see our connection with the soul or our realization of the truth. So that's what it is said. Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavadu virajidau sopna bhotopamautam. Then, baddhe jivan vimuktim gadavadichamidha tavadi tavadego bhumte dehadhrumastho vishaya bhalarasan na paro nurvyadhalpam. Then what happens? Baddhe jivan vimuktim. In that body situation is like this. That there are these two birds sitting in the tree, isn't it? Gadavadichamidha tavado tavadegam bhumte dehadhrumastho vishaya bhalarasan na paro nurvyadhalpam. One bird who is sitting in the jivatma, who is sitting inside, he is enjoying the fruits of the tree. Vishaya bhalarasan. In other words, he is enjoying the senses. That's the individual soul. Individual soul within everyone is busy, jivatma. He is called the conditioned soul. So the conditioned soul is busy, absorbed in enjoying the life here. Because it has started eating the fruit of the material life. So due to association with material nature, it's trying to experience this world and also experience the happiness and distress from that. The other one, which is only a witness, the super soul, which is only a witness, is simply witnessing everything, but does not involve in anything. It does not involve in anything. Constantly it witnessing all the activities of the jiva, activities of the living entity or the soul. So that's what it was spoken. That is the message in this chapter. That yathartyalpanmaya sevihimamana vibho vastudo bandham mokshav. That bandham and moksham, actually, in strictly speaking, is not a truth. There is no bandham, there is no moksham either. There is no thing called liberation. There is no thing called bondage either. But when Krishna is speaking this, he is speaking this from an absolute platform. He is not speaking from a relative platform like we are talking about. So, because it's from the absolute platform, unless one reaches that state, one cannot understand this. It will remain as a mystery to us. How can it be? We may ask this question again. How can that be? So, Uddhava asked the same question. And Krishna has answered it in this way. Krishna was saying to Uddhava, through examples he started, that when Krishna is answering, you can see. In the end you will see. Edananda samudra sambradam jnanamritam bhagavataya bhashidam. Bhagavataya bhashidam. Remember the difference now you can see between Arjuna and Uddhava. While talking to Arjuna, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Parthaya pradibodhidam bhagavadam narayanena swayam. Parthaya, for Arjuna's sake, pradibodhidam, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, swayam, himself, Krishna himself, narayanena swayam, pradibodhidam, parthaya. So, for Arjuna's benefit, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That's all he said there. But here, Ekadasha Skandam, he says, jnanamritam bhagavataya bhashidam. Uddhava is fully ripened fruit.
is fully ready to receive the knowledge. Therefore, it's addressed here. Bhagavataya Bhashitam. Bhagavatam is a pure Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means a pure devotee. He's already a pure devotee. And for him, this Jnanamritam, this nectar of Ekadasham was spoken. Krishna says, Jnanamritam Bhagavataya Bhashitam. So, there is a difference here that Uddhava's position is different than Arjuna. You can see. Therefore, in order to understand Ekadasham also, the same style, kind of devotion like Uddhava also has to be there. So sometimes we try to understand Ekadasha Skandam like Arjuna tried to understand Bhagavad Gita. But even that will be difficult. That is why it's warned here, Jnanamritam Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. Only a devotee who has come to that state of consciousness like Uddhava can understand Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam. Spoken here. That all what is spoken as bondage is all based on the material nature. We have to recognize this fact. Whenever they talk about liberation, it is in relationship with the material nature. That similarly, that when we talk about dream state also, in dream state also, what happens is that in dream, if you experience some pain, you will suffer in dream, isn't it? If you experience dream pain in the dream, you will suffer. If you feel hunger in the dream, you will feel hungry. If you feel hunger in the dream, you will feel hungry. Because all these are coming from the mind. That's what's important. That shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, dehavatishya maya. Krishna says there that Shri Bhagavan Vacha, if you look in the second verse in this 11th chapter, shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, dehavatishya maya, sutmo yathatmane khyadi, samsarvam nadu vastavi. That's the verse. Sutnam yathatmana khyadi. That sutnam, the dream state. You remember the dream state is unreal. When you come out from the dream state to jagrat, to wake up state, what happens? You immediately realize that it was not a real thing. Krishna is saying here, then when you wake up from the three states of existence to the realized state, you will see that all these three states were also illusion. All these three states were also illusion. That's the point he was making. That whatever Krishna does not differentiate a lot between Jagrat and Swapnam. Krishna says here that compare the Jagrat and Swapnam all the time and see for yourself, Krishna says. That exactly as much as you are suffering, people are thinking that, oh, I've suffered so much, they say, isn't it? Sometimes they say like that, I've suffered so much in this world. And then they are worrying about it. And then sometimes they feel that if I can sleep somehow, I can forget all my worries. And they take to different methods of alcohol or drugs or something. So they can forget their worries, they say. But here is where avidya comes. Avidya is like this. Avidya is making him think that everything that... Then he starts dreaming and experiences very very bad dreams. And he is thinking that what I dreamt is not real, so I am not suffering. Although he is suffering at the time when experiencing the dream, when he comes out of the dream, he is not suffering anymore. So he is thinking that, oh, I escaped from that suffering by using these drugs or alcohol or something like that. He escaped from this. But actually, what he does not know, that the suffering for which he is looking for a remedy, that is the dream state, sorry, the Jagrat state or vacant state miseries, is also an illusion, a product of illusion. That's what Krishna is saying. But so the real process is how to escape from this illusion of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. That is what Ekadasha Skandam is talking about. Instead of trying to move from one state to another, to escape from Jagrat state to go to dream and deep sleep, or to escape from dream to go to deep sleep, that solution is not the real solution. Real solution, Krishna is saying, is escape from Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. And then you come to the spiritual platform, in the platform of the soul, Atmarama. And then you have properly escaped from the... Otherwise, you will fall back into another problem again when you come back.
Shogamohau sukham dukham dehavatishchamaya. Then dehavatishchamaya. Sutno yad atmanakhyadi samsadir madhu vastavi.
Nothing is vastav. Vastav means the truth. Vastav means the truth. Because in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, in the first verse itself, Krishna spoke, the Vedavyasa Maharshi said this, isn't it? What did he say?
Janma adhyasaya dunvaya idrasas artesha vitnya swaran tene brahma hridaya adhikavaye muhyandiyat suraya tejo vari mridam yadhavinimayo yatratra sargo mrusha dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhakam satyam varam dhimahi.
Then dharma projita kaida otra baramo nirmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavam. There the word vastavam comes. Vastava means absolute reality. So reality is Krishna.
Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam.
So only by knowing the reality one can free oneself from tapatrayam, the three kinds of miseries of the material world. That's what Krishna has spoken about. So just like the realized souls, they will say this. The distress what we experience is only a semblance. It's only a semblance. Because they will know that the happiness they experience in this world and the distress they experience in this world, both are products of illusion. That is how jnanis come out of this. That is why they do not get carried away by the little success they achieve in their life, nor do they get carried away by the distress that comes in some form. Neither of them disturb them, because they know both happiness and distress. Shogam, moham, sukham, dukham, all for dehavatischa mayaya. It's all in relationship with the body. If that realization comes, one will never again worry about it. One will not get disturbed over it. Dehavatischa maya, maya's creation that is. And svapnam, svapno yadhatmana khyadi, just like the svapna state or dream state, how it has been affected by the mind and intelligence, samsradir madhu vastavi, it is not vastavam. The material existence is also not vastavam. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, we are not discussing about material life, we are discussing about the absolute truth, Krishna. Therefore it says, vastavam atra vastu shivadam, its vastavam is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what was spoken about here is that both laughing and crying, which comes from happiness and distress, both belong to the same field. They both belong to the same field. They are both false. When one feels happiness, when one experiences some happiness in the material world, he enjoys and starts smiling and laughing and enjoying himself. And similarly, when some distress happens, he immediately gets disturbed and distressed over it. Jnanis are those people who don't get affected by it, because they have analyzed this sufficiently, well, very much inside, and they have understood that this laughing and crying, shogam and moham, sukham and dukham, are all belonging to the same mother, the illusion. From there it has come. He has come to understand this. And therefore, he doesn't cry. And depending on the depth of thought in a person, to what extent, how deep in his thoughtful nature a person is, accordingly you will see this realization in him. Otherwise, he will see this. Otherwise, some people, they get extremely blissful when some little happiness comes. And similarly, they become very miserable when some distress comes also. So, Krishna's point of view is that both happiness and distress belongs to the same field. They come from the same background, and one should not get affected by that. On the other hand, what does Krishna say? Krishna says here, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna gives more importance, more than happiness or distress, he gives importance to something else. What is that? Bhoktaram yajnadavasam sarvalokamaheshwaram sukhradam sarvabhodhanam yatvamam shandi mruchavim. Krishna says more important than all this is shanti.
Shanti means peace. Neither getting affected by the happiness or by the distress. And how will that happen? When one realizes, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajna Davasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And Krishna is the absolute truth, who is the benefactor of all the sacrifices, and who is the supreme controller, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And not only that, the next two lines are more important. Suhrdam Sarva Bhudanam. That Krishna, who is present in everyone, and is a friend of all, the collective super souls of everyone, that is Krishna, isn't it? The super soul who is present in everyone, collectively if you take, that collective super soul, which is one, Krishna, he is by knowing jnatva mam, if you know him, shanti mruchati, you will attain peace. This is Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna don't give any importance to the so-called material happiness or distress. The happiness, sukham and dukkham, dehavatischa mayaya. One who has accepted material body, which itself is a product of illusion, Krishna says. Material body itself is a product of illusion, and so long as you have material body, happiness and distress will be there as a part of that. One who gets affected by that, Krishna says that he is in avidya. He has not understood the truth. But those who have understood the truth, Krishna says, what will happen? Suhrdam sarva bhudanam yatva mam shanti mruchati. He will see the presence of Krishna in everyone as the super soul, and yatva mam, knowing that, he will achieve peace. Shanti mruchati, Krishna says. Shanti mruchati. So what Krishna is pointing out to us, the shanti or peace is more important than all the happiness, so-called happiness of what we are talking about in this world. Happiness has no meaning as far as Krishna is concerned, because it's coming from the senses and the mind, whereas shanti is a product of the soul, unaffected by the modes of nature. That is the spiritual position of the soul. The soul unaffected by the modes of material nature. That is the peaceful situation. And that is what Krishna is pointing at to us. Ekadasha Skandam also will repeat the same thing again if we look into Navayogi Samvadam. The nine yogis, when they discussed with the nine yogis and the king Nimi, verse 43, if you look, iti achyutangrim bhajano nivrtyam bhaktar viraktar bhagavat prabhudaha bhavanti vai bhagavata sirajam sadaparam shanti mubedi sakshay. This word is stressed, shanti, again and again. That he says here, then a devotee, Kavi Maharshi is talking now, the first of the nine yogis. You remember this discussion between the king Nimi and the Navayogis, the nine yogis. The first among them was Kavi Maharshi. So Kavi spoke to King Nimi about Krishna consciousness, isn't it? In 12 verses, starting from verse 33. And he concludes that with this verse. What does he say? Iti achyutangrim bhajano nivrtyam bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. That one who has taken shelter of Krishna. Krishna achyutangrim bhajano nivrtyam. One who is completely surrendered to Krishna and serving him. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. He will have bhakti, he will have virakti, and he will have bhagavat prabhoda. That he will achieve this state of consciousness, that pure devotion to Krishna, and complete renunciation, and also realizations of Krishna's presence in everyone. Bhavandi vai bhagavata sirajam. What else will happen to him? Tadaparam shanti mubaidi sakshal. That pure devotee, what will happen to him? He will achieve ultimately total peace, Krishna says. Total peace he will achieve. Krishna doesn't say he will become totally happy, or he will be enjoying his life after that. No, he says he will become totally peaceful. Why? Avidya has gone from inside. All this is avidya. Because of maya, maya is avidya. Through maya, avidya comes. Maya's energy is avidya. And avidya has gone and vidya has come. And with the result of vidya, shanti has come. That's what the point Krishna is making here. So, this thing, what we talk about, that that both laughing and crying, they are both in the same field. They are in the same field. Then, just as you mentioned that in the night time we dream every day. Similarly, this vacant state also, it's a long dream that's going on. Only thing is we are switching from one thing to another. One thing to another. We have somehow the other accepted that the long state of Jagrat is the real life and the long state of dream, what we experience tonight is all unreal. This is all in our mind. We have come to accept it that way. But Krishna's point is that neither of them are real. Only the reality is Shanti. When it comes, Tadaparam Shanti Upaiti Sakshal. When he has realized, he will achieve Shanti. That's the point what Krishna wanted to make here. So, in this process, while discussing this, Krishna says here that this shariram, material body, is something an anxiety always for everyone. And if you tell someone that you can get liberated within this body itself, it becomes very difficult for people to accept that, isn't it? How to get liberated from this body, within the body, while being within the body. So, to be precise, what Krishna says here is that the distress is there while living within the body due to, say, separation from some beloved one, or due to illness, or due to any other material miseries, one experiences distress in this world in some form or the other. And while when the jnanis who knows that they have accepted that material body itself is a disease, they consider material body itself as a disease. So when a disease comes, they can see it, that if you get one disease for another disease, what do you say for that? So is a disease body itself, is material body itself is a disease. It is not possible to stay free from disease within this material body. That's not possible. So jnanis know how to separate themselves from the material body and identify with the soul. Therefore, they accept the disease that comes to the material body as another disease which has come for the body. But it is on this issue that in the Vedanta philosophy these differences have come. Just like we have Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam and all these differences, it has come on this point only. This is a very important point. Why, how we should understand this. People generally think, oh, this is one. Actually, there is no difference. The difference is like this. That the when one is on a bodily understanding, when one is on a bodily understanding, the reality is that you will experience the miseries of material life. You will suffer everything in this material world, what you are meant to suffer. Adhyalmigam, Adibaudigam, Adidevigam. All these three miseries will come. And in Sharira Mandalam, that means when you are in the bodily concept of life, there is no way of escaping from that. This we have to accept it. There is no way of escaping from that. And so long as we are in the bodily concept of life, when we are in the bodily concept of life, we should not keep on saying to others, I am not this body. What will happen if you keep on saying this to others? That I am not this body, saying to others, and very much conscious of your own body and in the bodily concept of life, we will one day turn out to be demons. This will happen. Why? I'll tell you why it happens. When we are in the bodily concept of life, we have to recognize that we have no knowledge, we have no renunciation. That is why we are in the bodily concept of life. We are in the grip of Maya. So the important thing to do now in this state is to recognize this, that jnanam and vairagyam is necessary. Jnanam and vairagyam is necessary to free oneself from this bodily identity. I am in the bodily identity. I must recognize that fact. Recognizing this, within the grip of Maya, knowing very well
till Maya releases from the grip of her control, we have to execute bhakti, following all the morals, all the moral principles, dharmam, religious principles. One should execute one's life in Krishna consciousness. Till the point we get released from this bodily identification. Otherwise, if we continuously declare that I am not this body, to tell others and at the same time very much absorbed in the body, that will be only a duplicity. That will not have any benefit. Because that way you won't make any progress either. Because you are altogether confused about it. The right thing to do, Shastra is saying there, that one must recognize the importance of renunciation and knowledge, and one should execute the 9 processes of Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, properly, while living within the Maya, accepting that I am bound by Maya, and execute bhakti in such a way till Maya releases us from this conditioned state. That is the proper way to continue. So, here he says here that at a particular stage, when the practice of bhakti increases, at some stage we will be released by Maya from this state of consciousness. At that stage, what will happen? What will happen at that stage? At that stage, slowly we will start realizing that I am something different than the body. At least we'll come to realize I am Jiva. Most of us, many people, even in Krishna consciousness, they read books from all over and then they start thinking, oh, I got the highest truth in my hand. On the other hand, he is completely under the grips of material nature. And he is saying that I am now realized more or less because I got the highest knowledge from the Shastram. I have read everything, I have understood everything. But strictly speaking, that will not help. Because what starts happening there now is that in his consciousness he is very much in identification with the body. But in the mind and the brain he has developed some understanding of the soul. And that's not helping. It is a consciousness that has to change. So what will happen is, initially, when the soul gets released from this when that understanding builds up inside, after a long time of execution of bhakti, after a long time of execution of sadhana bhakti, he will slowly start to come to understand that I am something different than the body. And as he progresses further, at some stage, he will start coming some relationship with the super soul as well, which happens at a much later date. So at different stages of realization, different philosophies apply. Dvaitam applies at a particular stage, Visheshal Dvaitam applies at another stage, Advaitam applies at another stage. So it is a different stage. What stage, when one looks at it, he experiences this different relationships with the soul and the super soul. So, in order to understand this, by all means, most of the people, 99.9% or 99.99% of the people are Dvaitis. They will be in Dvaitam because they are strongly in the bodily concept of life. At that point, it's very difficult to think anything different than that. They have to accept the reality. I am in the bodily concept of life. I have no connection with Krishna. I have what to speak about connection with Krishna. I have not even realization that I am a soul. I am very much absorbed in the bodily identity. So at that point in time, it's no point in saying about the that I am not this body. So that's why it's spoken. That Krishna is saying there, Shoga moho sukham dukham dehavatischa maya samsara swapna swapno yathatmana khyadi samsara nadu vastavi. So when Krishna says this to us, we may have to remember, all the acharyas warns us on this. They say, while reading these verses from Krishna in the Bhagavatam, which is on the highest realized state, when we are not in that state, it will not be possible to realize it. When we are not in that state, it will not be possible to understand what Krishna is saying. So rather than debating on these verses, His best thing is to accept it in that way, with the proper understanding. That right now, I am in the bodily concept of life. I have to execute Krishna consciousness in order to free ourselves from the bodily identity to the spiritual identity. When I come to the spiritual identity as Jiva, as the conditioned soul, at least I am freeing from the body. And later on in due course, when one goes further, he will understand his connection with the super soul and he will start the realization that how close that connection is. And that is the time when he gets released from the material nature. When he completely released from the material nature. Shogamoho sukham dukham dehavatischa mayam. Then supnoyadha atmanakhyadi samsarderun naduvastavim. Same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. In Bhagavad Gita also you will find all these three things. Dvaitam you will find there. Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam, everything you will find there. That is why Bhagavad Gita has got so many commentaries also. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamaivamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuda sanatana. Manashashtan indriyani, prakritisthani karshadi. Isn't it? So, prakritisthani karshadi, manashashtan indriyani. that my amsham, my part and parcel, jiva, conditioned soul, jiva bhuda sanatana, they are jiva bhudam, they have become jiva. And they live in that sanatana state. Manashashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshadi. That so long as they are in contact with the material nature, that situation will be there. When they are released from the material nature, when they become a part and parcel of me, they get released from that state. So, in which state we are looking at the truth, whether you are looking at from the bodily concept of life, or from the jiva concept of life, or from the atma concept of life, accordingly, all of them are true. All these different statements are true. That's why from same Vedas, all these knowledges come around. But one thing you have to recognize, Vedas only talks about the soul, the bodily identity and also the bodily concept is supposed to be on the lowest platform. When one releases from the bodily platform, he progresses slowly upwards towards the soul. So that is the one important point. The material body has come to us. Material body has come to us. And shokam, moham, sukham, dukham. Lamentation, distress and desires, moham, all the hankering, all these things are there. They will come and they will go. They will come and they will go. But when you start analyzing this very seriously within yourself, that the thing what I was inquiring about, I am different than the body. That realization will come in due course. The, here the problem is the mind. The quality of the nature of the mind is, with the mind you can study everything in this world, isn't it? You can study everything with the mind. But can you study your own mind with your own mind? That's not possible, is it? This is the difficulty with the mind. Mind stops there. Suppose you want to understand your own mind, it's not possible because you don't know what you... Although you may say, my mind tells me. You may make some statement like that. But strictly speaking, it's difficult to know your own mind because the mind, what it tells you now, will not tell you the same thing next moment. It changes, isn't it? You all know by practical experience, nobody has to tell you this. You make some important decision tonight to buy a particular car. Say you decide to buy a Vauxhall tonight. You went to sleep. In the morning, in the night something happened. In the morning, the whole thing changes. Something else came up in your mind and you thought of changing your mind to change it to a Nissan or Toyota or something like that. Some changes happen. So sometimes this mind plays this game with you. And with all of us, it's the same thing. The mind has got this nature. It's never the same. It's always changing, one to another, one to another. So because the mind is like that, Krishna is saying here that shogam moham sukham dukham dehavatyascha maya. Maya is playing us through all these things. And we do not know how to understand this because ourselves, we are identifying with this so-called mind ourselves and thinking that, oh, I got it, but you never get it. We never get hold of this mind. This mind can drive us so crazy sometimes, which we don't know where to. Sometimes it's so difficult to come out of the control of the mind.
So that's what Krishna is saying here, that the mind is, but when one goes on inquiring and continuously reading Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita, what will happen is, little by little, you will get released yourself from the grip of this mind. Mind will start dying. Mind will start evaporating. It will go away. This is the beauty of the Ekadasha Skandam, that this so-called mind will evaporate. There won't be any mind afterwards, because the pure knowledge of spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, is coming from Ekadasha Skandam. As much as it goes in and the mind starts filled with Ekadasham, eventually mind will change altogether. It will take a position that here there is a lot of difficulty. Just like when we, suppose you make a lot of inquiries about spiritual life and you thought about all these things, eventually you will end up with two things, isn't it? You will end up with two things. What's the two things? One the soul and the other one the body. One the soul and the other one the body. It is exactly like the situation normally, people ask this question, isn't it? Did the chicken come from the egg or egg come from the chicken? You will cut to that point. After that, there is no further answer. You are stuck with these two. Or you can say, the tree has come from the seed. So which one was there before? The tree was before or seed was before? Or the fruit was there before? Just like in a small seed, a huge banyan tree is packed. Krishna has packed a huge banyan tree in a small seed. So you sow the seed and from that seed a huge banyan tree comes out. And from that banyan tree, thousands of fruits comes out, and each fruit there are thousands of seeds. Break the banyans, one of the fruits, and take away one seed and plant it, and from that seed another huge banyan tree comes out. From that. So again the question will come, which one has come first? The seed or the tree? Like the chicken or the egg? The same situation. So Sankhya philosophy, it comes up to this point. That's why they accept Purusha and Prakriti, the two things exist separately. Purusha and Prakriti. But Vedanta philosophy is going a little bit more than that. What they're saying is that the tree has come from the ground. The seed has also come from the ground. So if you cut the tree and put it on the ground, eventually it will get absorbed by the earth. The seed also, if you put it in the ground, it may sprout or it can also die and become a part of the earth. Mrityatyeva satyam. The truth is only the earth. Earth is the only truth. That's why Upanishad says the statement. Mrityatyeva satyam. Vajarambhano namadheyam vikaram. Mrityatyeva satyam. That everything else is a parinamam or vigaram, they call it. Vigaram means the transformation that has happened. Just like the gold is the only truth. All the jewelry you make out of the gold, is it has changed its name, it has changed its form. You call the same gold in the form of bangles, in the form of the chain, in the neck, or anklets, or ring in the finger, or in different shapes it can take. But for a gold merchant, it's all gold. It's in none of these forms has an importance to him. He's seeing it as gold everything. Isn't it? Just like with the earthen clay pot, with the earth, you can make different kinds of earthen pots. They're all different forms it's taken. So these two things are called namam and vigaram. You give them a particular name to it, bangle. When it takes a particular form, you give it a name as bangle. That is its namam. And the change that has happened in its form, from its original, from gold to bangle, is called its vigaram, its change of shape. So namam vigaram, nama rubam they call it, rubam, it's a form that it takes. Nama rubam and also vajarambhano namadheyam mrityatyeva satyam. That these are the things, everything in this creation is one substance has taken into the different names and different forms.
This is what Vedantam is saying. And that original substance, what originally existed, is only the soul, which is Brahman, as it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Brahman is the only truth that has taken all these forms in different forms and different shapes under different names. We title them as different names. So, in this way, Krishna is saying here that the that one can never otherwise answer the question. Vedantam is bringing us to this ultimate point that the only truth is Krishna, Satyam Param Dhimahi. From there, the changes started happening one after the other, one after the other. And in various forms and shapes it has taken, we have accepted it in different ways and we have given the names to it. So, when we have, after proper analysis, we have come to this realization that I am something different than the body. I am the soul within the body and the body is also mine. I am my body and is around surrounding my soul. Up to that point you have reached and everyone gets stuck at that point. But when through Krishna consciousness, when one completely able to forget the body, lose the total identity with the body and comes in identity with the soul, and that is the point when he gets released from the, or what is they call in the science as the escape velocity. He completely gets released from the influence of the body once for all. He does not get any more. After that, he doesn't have to come to the bodily concept of life again. And that's the time when he is addressed as Jivan Mukta, one who is released from the influence of birth and death. Then, so Krishna is saying here, that one who lives in that, Sankhya Yogam is talking about Prakriti and Purusham. Up to this point, they consider Purusha is there, Prakriti is there. Prakriti is the material nature. And everything is a product of material nature and Purusha exists separately. Shogam, Moham, Sukham, Dukham, Dehapatischa, Mayaya. So, it sapno yad atmana khyadi samsrader nadu vastavi. None of this is the truth as far as Krishna is concerned. Samsrader nadu vastavi. Material existence itself is not vastavam, is not a truth, Krishna says. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, Vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam moksha bandagari adye mayayami vinirmite. Verse 3. Krishna says, both knowledge and ignorance, which gives the liberation and bondage to a living entity, have come from Maya, and they are the potencies of Maya. So, Maya has created both. When that is why she is addressed like this, Vidya, Vidya, Swarupini. Vidya and Avidya, both are coming from Maya. So, that is why in the Bhagavatam you find that gopis pray to Maya Devi, isn't it? Sri Parvati, they pray to her. Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adhishwari, Nanda Gopasudam Devi Padimme Kurude Nama. Gopis were conscious. Katyayani Mahamaye, addressing Sri Parvati, Mahamaye, Katyayani. That's the, all addresses are very important words they have used. Mahayogini, Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adhishwari. That means she is in control of this Vidya. She is in control of this Vidya. Vidya and Avidya both come from her. Krishna's agent, Sri Parvati. Vidya and Avidya both come from her. When, if she gives you the right understanding and the right knowledge, you will get released from her control. Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Mahayogini. She is a great yogini. Adhishwari, and what else? She keeps everyone under her control through two of these potencies, Vidya and Avidya. She keeps everyone under her control. Nanda Gopasudam Devi Padime Kurude Nama. And gopis are praying to her, please give Krishna as, let Krishna come, Nanda Maharaj's son, Krishna come as our husband. So, you can see, Rukmini Devi prayed to Krishna,
നമസ്യേ ത്വാംബികേ വിഷ്ണു സ്വസന്താനയുധാം ശിവാം ഭൂയാൻ പതിർമേ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണസ്തു അനുമോദദാം.
ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് യു വിൽ സി രുക്മിണി ദേവി ബിഫോർ മാരേജ് ഷീ ഗോസ് ടു ശ്രീ പാർവതീസ് ടെമ്പിൾ ആൻഡ് പ്രേസ് ടു ഹർ.
നമസ്യേ ത്വാംബികേ ഭീഷ്ണം.
അംബികേ ഈസ് അനദർ നെയിം ഓഫ് ശ്രീ പാർവതി.
സ്വസന്താനയുധാം ശിവാം ശുഭൂയാൻ പതിർമേ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണ സ്തുതനുമോദദാം.
That bless me in such a way that Krishna marries me and takes me as his wife. This was a prayer from Rukmini Devi to Shri Parvati. And in the Bhagavatam, how Rukmini Devi went to see Shri Parvati on the day of her marriage, and how Krishna kidnapped her from there. That's also explained in the Bhagavatam. So that's what Krishna is saying. That
vidya vidye mamadanu vidyuddhava sharirinam mokshabandhakari madye mayayame vinirmide.
Mayadevi has created this world and under her grip we are all moving around. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. We will see next time.
Yeah.